morning and welcome to Your Book Garden, a copyrighted show presented by Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I'm Tina Susetic. It was 2 weeks ago. So far in the month of February, we have received over 48 inches of snow with more to come tonight. We don't even know where to put it anymore. So we'll get off the snow subject here. Today I'm happy to have E.E. Burke. May I call you Elizabeth?
Sure.
Okay. Elizabeth E.E. Burke, Elizabeth Burke on my show. Elizabeth and I met at Wild Deadwood Reads 2 years ago at the first ever event. And then last year we met once again when we were both part of the Wild Deadwood Tales anthology, which raised money for the Western Sports Foundation. And I think you were one of the organizers of this, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was the one that kind of came up with the idea after I spoke with the Cowboys, basically. I talked to them the year before, and Mike Heald gave me a lot of information about the Western Sports Foundation, and it just seemed like the right thing to do. So,
well, and it was, you know, it was fun. I've talked about the anthology before on other shows, and, you know, for me, it was just an honor to be part of an anthology with so many wonderful authors, you know, best-selling authors like yourself. And both our stories were historical, set in Deadwood. And yep. But unfortunately, the book is no longer available, right?
Well, the book came down at the end of the year. I know some of us still have copies, so if somebody wanted to get their hands on a copy, they could reach out to you or me, and we could certainly get them one. But, yeah, it was just a year-long offer, so, yeah.
I know I have two copies left. Just let me do a little bit of an introduction. Elizabeth is a best-selling author of emotionally powerful historical and contemporary romances that combine her unique blend of wit and warmth. Her books have been nominated for numerous national and regional awards, including Bookseller's Best, National Reader's Choice, and Kindle Best Book. She was also a finalist in the RWA's prestigious Golden Heart Contest, which is pretty amazing. That's the one that's for, you were unpublished at the time when you you were a finalist for that. So we've already talked a little bit, so welcome. And before we get started talking about your books, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Gosh, I don't even know where to start with that. I kind of failed on a career in marketing about, probably 10 years ago, and got real serious about writing and really began to focus on trying to live my dream, which is writing novels, and in particular, historical novels and historical romance. And so, yeah, I've been at it about 10 years, and gosh, I've learned a lot. I've been kind of amazed by the level of support and encouragement, and just people really help each other, in particular in the romance genre. I talk to people in their genre all the time, and, you know, they're like, it's kind of amazing to them how much romance authors tend to get behind each other to help each other, how much we work together, the kind of joint projects we do, and things like that. And I'll say that's probably been the most fun I've had, is working on all these joint projects. I just love them.
And we will talk a little bit later about some of the joint projects besides the anthology that you just talked about. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is there anything else in particular? I wasn't sure exactly what you wanted me to address, if that was what you wanted me to address.
We'll talk about that a little bit later, because I do want to get into a couple other things, including your book that I read that I just loved. What draws you to the era and the genre of historical westerns, because the majority of your books are historical westerns?
Yeah, I've been a history geek for as long as I can remember. I love it. And in particular, American history. And I find that the 19th century, that era and the westward expansion, kind of fascinating. There's so much going on at that period of time in our country, so many things happening. It's sort of a time when we have our own myths and legends, if you will, kind of like the knights parts of, you know, Europe, we have sort of the cowboys of the West and stuff. And I think it just lends itself to some great storytelling. And when I began to write, I began to sort of focus on the history of the area that I live in, which is Kansas. And I had been doing a little bit of research and just, I was just fascinated with the history of the area. This area is just so rich in so many things that shaped this country. And so it just fed me in terms of the types of people and the events and what was going on. And my fascination with the railroad, I was watching a show called Hell on Wheels, and I was just completely wrapped up in that show. And at the same time, ironically enough, was writing a series called Steam, Romance, and Rails. And so it was really funny, you know, sort of, you know, watching the show going, oh my gosh, yes, this is a lot of what I'm writing about. And as far as the Twain fascination, Mark Twain's been one of my favorite authors forever. And even as a kid, I read Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn, and I wanted to go traveling with those guys. I wanted to go hang out with them. I wanted to find out what happened. Yeah, I wanted to know where'd they go, where'd they end up, you know. And as I began to sort of ask myself that question, I know this sounds silly to say, but Huck sort of told me. You know, it was kind of like, well, where do you think I ended up? I was out on the river, you know. Who wouldn't want to be a steamboat pilot? Actually, Mark Twain told me that. When you read his stuff, you like go, oh, yeah, 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 this was where Huck would end up.
Well, and what Elizabeth is talking about is her book, Taming Huck Finn. And it takes Huck Finn, what was it, 12 or 15 years after Mark Twain's story? I can't remember.
15 years into the future from that last scene you see of Huck's story.
Yeah, and I loved, so she, you know, Huck Finn is now, you know, an adult, and he's a riverboat pilot, and Elizabeth took her story, or I'm sorry, his story, and, you know, let us know, you know, what his life was like. And I found it very interesting, and I loved how you brought up some of the stuff from the past, you know, from the other books.
Yeah.
And so tell us how you came up with this idea.
You know, I do a lot of what if when I start a book. What if this happened? What if that happened? And I generally also ask myself, and what's the worst thing that could happen? Because inevitably you got to address that, right, for a character to grow. So I thought, well, you know, Huck runs off. What would he become? Well, he might become a steamboat pilot. He might go look for gold. He might, you know, there's a lot of things he would do. Well, what's the worst thing that could happen to him? Well, he's this footloose, fancy-free guy who does not want to be civilized. Never has, never will be. What's the worst thing that could happen to him? If he wakes up one morning and suddenly he's responsible for a child and has to figure out what to do with him. And then even worse than that, what happens if that child's aunt, long lost aunt, you know, comes after him, and she's a lot like that old maid that tormented Huck so much, or at least he thinks she is. Mm-hmm. She's a much younger person. And you know, that would just make him think, oh, my gosh, you know, there's no way I'm going to let this kid, who I didn't even know, you know, was related to me, there's no way I'm going to let her take him. And so, you know, it all sort of, everything sort of built as I began to ask myself the question of what if this happened and what if that happened. And then the story just sort of came to me from there. I did a lot of reading. I've read Twain's, you know, Huck Finn adventures, but I also read a lot of his books on, you know, life on the Mississippi, his experiences as a riverboat pilot. I read diaries of riverboat pilots. I did a lot of research into the history of the Missouri River, tracked a lot of trips up and down the river. You know, just what I usually do when I start in on a historical book, I sort of gorge on research. And so
that's
many
the
of these
fun
things
part.
Yeah, it suggests ideas to me. And there were people in his past that I wanted to bring back that I thought it made a lot of sense, things that he hadn't really dealt with, you know, his own sense of belonging and his own father and the situation he had with his father. And yet at the same time, understanding enough to know that a boy needs a father, and a boy needs a good father. And that's what made this book different, I think, in some ways than a lot of the traditional romances I've read, is that this isn't just a book about Huck's love story with Hallie. It's also a book about Huck really kind of coming to grips with his past and embracing his role as a father.
Well, and you did a really good job with not only the internal conflict that both Huck and Hallie have, but the external conflict with, you know, the fight over this boy and, and Hallie's perception of what she thinks Huck is, which, mm-hmm. is of course wrong. But then, how you tied it all together and the adventures. I mean, they had adventures and, which I thought was pretty neat, and you did such a good job of, okay, I'm right there. I'm on, I'm with her trying to build that shelter in the storm.
Yeah.
And, I thought you did a wonderful job on the book. I really, really, really liked it. And
thank you.
In fact, my writer's group, are going to fight over the book because we share books, but I'm like, I told them about it and I said, but nobody gets it until after I have you on my radio show. So they're going to be fighting over it. But I do need to ask, is there going to be a book about Tom Sawyer?
Yes. It is going to take a little longer than I intended. There are some things about the book that, and you know this, you're an author. You know sometimes when you get to a point and you're like, there needs to be something else here. I need to do something different. But I haven't quite got my head around what I want to do. And it's a plot issue. And so I was driving myself kind of crazy trying to rush through it and get it done. But then I realized it's better if I just slow down, allow myself to kind of think about it a while and then go back to it and have maybe more clarity of thought. I think we as authors today in this rush and tumble world of ebooks, we rush too much. We push ourselves to write too fast and we rush everything out the door. And I don't think we do ourselves a service by doing that, because I believe a book can be better if you take a little time and you go back and you look at it and you give it some thought. It took me 4 years to write Huck Finn, and I'm 4 years to write a draft. It took me 4 years to go through that book enough and be satisfied with where it was and release it to do it justice. And Tom's book, I've been working on a little bit less, but I don't know how long it's going to take me, but it will come out when it's ready to come out and when I believe I've done the best I can do with it. But yes, there will be a book about Tom Sawyer. Yeah.
And you do bring up a good point about, with, everybody just, pushing out these ebooks and, let's get it done. And you can tell by the quality of some of the books. And, and I'm dealing with this book that I'm working on now. Actually, it's my continuing story from Wild Deadwood Tales. And it's like, why do I think I have to hurry up and get this done? Although I want to have it done for Deadwood. But it's like, why am I pushing myself? Why am I putting this pressure on myself, get it done and get it out there. And you're right, we want to put out a good quality book and you can't do that if you rush, rush through it. And yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
I cannot speak to other people's processes, and I know there are people who produce a lot and they publish a lot, and they publish books that people love, they're good books, whatever. I just believe in my heart that with a little time and a little distance, when you come back to something, you begin to see all these opportunities that you have to make it better. And it's not that it's not good. It might not be, but some of them are, some of them are fine. But just think of what they could be if you took a little time to step back, come back to it later with a little more clarity of mind. But I think that the pressure to get out there, stay atop the Amazon charts, you know, hit the algorithms, do, you know, and when you're trying to make money, when you know, this is your source of income, it can almost be, it's like panic. You hit the panic button.
Yeah.
You have to get another book out of it. And so I completely understand the pressures. I really do. I will say I'm not, you know, living off this income, thank goodness. I do have other support. But, I have the same feelings. I have the same urgency. I mean, I haven't really put a book out in a while because I'm working on something else that is a longer novel, and it's going to take a little more time. It's a newer series. And I'm just having to give myself a little bit of permission to take time and to take a deep breath and step back. And that is so hard to do right now. You feel like the whole world is just roaring past you, and you're going to get left behind. Those are the feelings that you get. But it's wonderful when you hear somebody say, I read this book that you put so much effort and time into, and I loved it, and I loved the way you did it, and I loved how it took me there, and you know, I fell in love with the characters. That makes everything worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know when you're doing a series too, you know, it's like people, I'm waiting for the next book, and it's like, well, it's going to take a while, you know, we can't just snap our fingers and boom, you know, the book is there.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to have conflict, and if you want to have good characters and you know, if you have a mystery, solve the mystery, and you know, there's a lot to it than just sitting down and pounding out a story. But yeah, it's hard work, you know. And I mean, I still enjoy it, but there's days where you're just like, oh, why am I doing this? You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I want to talk a little bit about, you have written several series.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and by the way, let's get back to Tom Sawyer. When the book comes out, whenever it comes out, I would love to have you back on to talk about that book. So, if you would like
Absolutely.
To. So, one of the series that I'm reading is The Bride Train, and I'm actually on Susanna's story, which is the fourth book in it.
Right.
How did you come up with the idea? Because at the beginning of each book, there's you write about an article. It's like an article. Was that an actual article that you found in a newspaper, or?
Yeah, it was. I actually found this little article. It was reporting on kind of this the settlers. Uprising in the area as a result of the railroads coming in and playing politics is what they were doing. They were getting permission to basically take land, buy it at a cheaper price, buy land that people were squatting on, hoping to claim under a law. They'd sort of come in and buy it up underneath them, you know, and then they'd want to sell it to them for a higher price. So all this actually happened, and it led to this huge uprising, and the railroad was, you know, like, what do we do about this? And, you know, these people are rioting, and somebody had suggested, well, why don't we bring in women? You know?
Yeah.
And I just thought that was the funniest thing I'd ever read, and I couldn't find any evidence that they did it. But the fact that they came up with that idea, I thought, oh, my gosh, that would make such a great story about this town involved in this, you know, kind of uproar and uprising and these characters involved. And it fit. And, you know, the whole mail order bride phenomenon was going on. And I thought, well, this sort of fits that genre, but it sort of turns it on its head and puts a twist in it, because these aren't mail order brides. They're sort of like brides shipped by rail, you know, to this area with the idea calming these guys down. And I thought, gosh, who would have come out, and what are these people like? And I have two more books to write in that series. I haven't finished it yet. It's the squirrel syndrome, is I'll write four books or so, and then I'll go, squirrel, new series, run off and write for a while. And I need to finish books in a couple series that I have got to get back to. And that is one of them. But yes, it is based on a true event. There's a lot of history woven in it with regard to what was going on with the railroad. It actually I actually found that article while I was researching a book called Her Bodyguard, which was the first book in my Steam Romance and Rail series. And there is a scene in Her Bodyguard that actually refers to this uprising and this idea of bringing women in. And it's in Her Bodyguard. And then I took that scene, that whole idea, and I spun a series off of it.
Well, I'm enjoying it, and actually, one of the things I did want to ask you was, you know, are there going to be more in this series? Because there's one character that just jumped out at me, and I can't recall her name, but she's the one that has the disfigured face, and it's like,
yeah,
okay, she needs to find her man, you know, and I love Susanna and some of the other ones who said, we're not just going to, because originally they were going to draw names,
yeah,
out of hats, and that was going to be your husband, you know.
Yeah.
And these women were like, no, no, we're not going to do that. And, you know, and each book is just a little bit, you know, a little bit different as to how, you know, the woman ends up with, you know, with her husband. And, yeah, I'm enjoying it, and yeah, I want that. I can't remember what her name is.
Her name is Delilah.
Delilah. I was gonna say Dolly. Well, at least I had one letter right on it.
Yeah.
So,
Delilah,
it's like, oh,
yeah.
She deserves a good guy, you know.
She does. And I do need to write her story and Hope's story. So those are the other two that I need to finish books on. I mean, I cannot promise when they'll come out, but I will swing back around to that series and finish it off with those two books.
Good. And what are your other series? Because I haven't read the other Train. What's it like?
It's called Steam, Romance, and Rails, and it follows a real honest-to-goodness railroad race through southeastern Kansas back in the 1870s, where three railroads were racing to get to Indian Territory. And whoever got there first was the one that got to pass through and build on into Texas. And so it's a real event. It really happened. I did tons of research for that particular series on that event. And then I wrote stories about all the people who were involved in it. And some of the stories are even based on actual people. A Dangerous Passion is based actually on a guy with the Katy Railroad who was the railroad manager for some years, and he was a fascinating fellow. And I kind of fictionalized him and his story. And so, that whole series is, you know, it really touches on almost every kind of character you can imagine that you would have encountered out in this area at the time. I like to write about characters that aren't just all cowboys. I like to, because the world out here was populated by so many other people doing so many other things. And so I actually, when you read my stories, you don't find a lot of cowboys. I write Western historical romance, but it's not really mostly cowboy books. It's, you know, books about other people, you know, other types of characters. The Bride Train, for example. You know, none of those characters would be characterized as cowboys, but they were all.
You're right. You know,
yeah.
You know, and that's something I hadn't thought about, but you're right, because one is, you know, opens a coal mine, one is a saloon owner, one is, well, the manager who brought the brides out, and the other one is a moonshiner. You really do. Yeah, that never crossed my mind, but yeah, none of them are cowboys.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well,
you did kind of bring up that race a little bit in Susanna's story, if I recall.
Yeah.
When you mentioned you did bring that up a little bit. I haven't finished that one yet, but so that's what that was about. Okay.
So it's alongside a little bit of the other one, but the Steam series starts with the race between two railroads. In Her Bodyguard, it takes the railroad that actually was involved in the riots that are going on in the Bride Train. that railroad line, which kept changing names. You know, some people later were familiar with the Frisco, but it was a Burlington Northern line, and it became a lot of different other names. But that particular railroad line, that spun off the Bride Train story, and they were the ones that were having trouble with the settlers' riots and stuff. And they're involved in the race. And then the Katy Railroad, what became the Katy Railroad, which some people have heard of the Katy Trail, but it was a railroad that was, gosh, in operation until the 1980s. And it went all down through Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, you know, Kansas, Missouri. It was a very well-known railroad line. And so Steam Romance and Rails begins with the race and her bodyguard. And then from there on out, the other books, Kate's Outlaw, A Dangerous Passion, Fugitive Hearts, they all deal with the journey that the Katy is making and what's happening to these people that are involved in these towns and involved with the railroad. And so they're longer novels. They're not novellas. And they're pretty chock full of historical events and people and things like that.
You know, I'm finding with doing this radio show, and as I'm, you know, reading different authors and then having them on my show, it's like my to-be-read list just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. And it's like, okay, I'm going to have to read that series too. So, you know, it's a good thing and a bad thing. So, and you were also part of, and that's not a, it's not a series, the 12 Days of Christmas Mail Order Brides.
Okay. Right. I've been involved with several multi-author projects. The most recent one, the 12 Days of Christmas Mail Order Brides and Brides of Noel, those are multi-author series set in this fictional town of Noel, Colorado, mining, you know, the background. So I've written two books in that series, that multi-author series. I was involved in the American Mail Order Bride series, that 50 books written by 45 authors. And I wrote a book in that series, the Kansas book, Victoria Bride of Kansas. And then I wrote a follow-up to that book, a companion book called Santa's Mail Order Bride. So they take place in the same town, same time, with two different women who are sisters-in-law. And I've written those books, and so I have been part of, and plus this Wild Deadwood Tales, you know, this short story collection. So I've been part of three different multi-author activities and projects, and have enjoyed them.
Well, and I have to tell you that I download it because around Christmas time, and I'll go through my Nook and read, you know, the Christmas books that have been on there for a couple of years. And I actually downloaded all the 12 Days of Christmas Mail Order Brides. I didn't get to read them, but they're on there. So
yep.
We are getting down to less than 2 minutes here. I'm always amazed at how fast this time goes. Where can readers find you?
Oh, well,
where listeners find you?
Yes, www.eeburk.com. So just myname.com, eeburk.com, and you can find me there, and you can find all my books there.
And once you get there, you can actually just click on the button to order them, and I highly recommend that you do, because they are very, I mean, if you love history and you love Western history, I mean, I'm just lost in your story.
Oh, thank you. I am so glad. It makes it all worth it.
Are you going to be in Deadwood this year?
I'm not this year. This year, my daughter graduates, and we promised on a senior trip. So it happens literally the same week as Deadwood.
Oh,
so hopefully next. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll miss seeing you. We just have a few seconds left. So thank you so much for joining me today, Elizabeth. And I enjoyed talking to you and reading your books. And maybe we'll meet up at another book event sometime. And please join me on March 12th when I'll be hosting author Megan Collins with her debut book, Winter Sister. Until then, read on, my lovelies.